Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we're going to continue where we left off. Before we do, I know there's some folks that came in late. I'm going to review briefly what we covered during our first session and then lead on into what we're going to be covering here during our second session. And I just want to say, brother, you are doing a wonderful job in your translating. Thank you. Well, very briefly, we covered the fact that everything begins with the Word of God. Everything in the natural, everything spiritually. And the Bible reveals that Jesus is the Word. We've learned that God's Word is established forever. And that we are to live by His will and His word. Jesus said that we are to live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. We learned that we are that God has instructed us to study His Word. Because all Scripture is profitable for us spiritually. It will correct our doctrine and keep us on the right path of serving Him. Jesus taught the apostles and prophets. They in turn have taught us. All of these teachings are recorded as the Bible. We build our lives on the foundation of the Word. Jesus said that if we take His words and do them, apply them to our lives, that we are building our house on a foundation that will never give away. But if we build our house without applying His sayings, that we are building our lives and our ministry on a foundation that cannot sustain everything that God desires. Jesus said we're to live by God's word and not by bread. Bread is something that man makes out of created things. Wheat is a created item. But God's word is life. And it imparts life. And when we live by the word of God, we are living by the very life of Almighty God. And I praise God that He's given us His word. The four things that impact us the most on a spiritual level are prayer, primarily praying in tongues, fasting, worship, especially private worship, and the Word of God. The Word of God by way of meditation, reading, declaring. And the Word of God gives us the revelation of what praying in tongues will do, of what fasting will do, of what worship will do, and of what meditating in the Word will do. The Word of God ultimately is our foundation. And yet God has warned us in His Word. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we remove these foundations, everything that we do cannot produce in us the will of God, even though it looks like we are mature in the Lord. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to talk about destroying these foundations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath builded thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, let's take a look at this. The Apostle Paul is telling us, I have received teaching from Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. I have delivered this teaching to you. Then someone else comes along and they build on that foundation. Or in other words, they continue teaching you. And he says, but if somebody comes in and they build on that foundation, teaching which is wood, hay, and stubble, on the day of judgment, God's holy fire is going to completely destroy what that man taught. He says, however, if you stay on the foundation of truth and what you teach is that which has been established by the Word of God through the apostles and prophets, then you will receive a great reward from God. And then he gives a very stern warning. He says, do you not realize that you are the temple of God? He's not talking about our physical bodies. He's talking about our spiritual life. At the moment we become born again, we become one with God. Jesus prayed this very thing in John chapter 17. We are not God. We will never become God, but we're one with Him in spiritual life. Wood, hay, and stubble tears away at the quality of the spiritual life we receive from God. And we are given a warning in Scripture that if any man defiles the temple, this temple of God, he says God will destroy that person. In other words, he's giving us a warning. And he's saying, if you teach somebody something that takes them away from the foundation and ultimately takes them away from Jesus Christ, you are going to be destroyed. That word destroyed means eternally separated from God. And I'm here to tell you right now, there are preachers in pulpits. They're naming the name of Jesus. They're reading from the Bible. But they're twisting the word of God. And they're delivering wood, hay, and stubble. And they're ultimately leading people away from the foundation. They have great choirs. They sing songs of worship. But they are destroying the temple. And these preachers are going to stand in judgment before God. And they'll be separated from Him for all eternity. But they believe that everything is okay. We're trying to help you in this seminar to avoid all of that. For you see, even now, there are preachers in this world who are telling Christians, if you sin, you don't need to repent. Everything is okay between you and God. That Jesus has already taken care of it. But that is not what the Word of God says. Over and over again, the Word of God tells us that as Christians, if we sin, we are supposed to repent. We are supposed to confess our sins unto God. And when we do, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if I stand up before you and I tell you it's okay, that you don't have to repent if you sin, I am taking you away from the foundation. And I essentially am telling you that the Word of God is not true. Because if God's Word says repent, and I tell you you don't have to, I'm calling God a liar. And I'm teaching people not to believe God. And God says, you can't do this. Because you will face His judgment. Look over in Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Already we're seeing that these religious leaders have exalted the traditions of man over the Word of God. And in verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
ninyi pia mnavunja agizo la Mungu kwa tamaduni zenu?
For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whomsoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So what we're seeing is that God is warning us
Mungu anatutahadharisha
that we can render the word of God of none effect by our traditions.
Kwa tamaduni zetu.
And he continues and he says, this people draw nigh unto me,
anasema, watu hawa wamekuja kwangu
with their mouth,
kwa midomo yao,
and honoreth me with their lips,
na wananiheshimu kwa vinywa vyao,
but their heart is far from me.
Lakini mioyo yao iko mbali na mimi.
But in vain do they worship me,
wananiabudu bure,
teaching for doctrines,
wanafundisha mafundisho,
the commandments of men,
mafundisho ya wanadamu.
This is extremely interesting.
Hii ni ya kuchangamsha sana.
Because what Jesus is telling us,
Yesu anatuambia,
is that you can be in a church service,
kwa unaweza kuwa kwa ibada kanisani,
and you can lift your hands, and be worshiping the Lord. But if you are teaching the traditions of man, you are worshiping him in vain. That means what we think is happening in worship is not happening to the degree we believe. Jesus continued and said this, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. In other words, what I am teaching you, this has the potential to defile me and defile you. Because if I teach you the traditions of man, it brings a defilement into your life. Therefore, I cannot exalt the traditions of man above the Word of God. In order for me to avoid this, I have to know what the Word of God says. I cannot stand up and tell you what I think the Word of God says. I must know what the Word of God says. If I teach you the traditions of man, I am destroying the foundations. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you believe, truly believe, that your life as a Christian and your ministry before God must be established on the Word? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now remember, you agreed with that. Because as we go through the Word of God this week, we're going to see a lot of things that maybe we had never seen before. Let's talk about a New Testament church. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In my years as a Christian, I've heard many people say that they attend a New Testament church. But what does that mean? What I have learned is that most people define A New Testament church, by what they believe, not by what God's Word says. But if we're going to have a New Testament church, it has to be according to the New Testament. This means I need to find out what is recorded in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote the following: "For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." This is one of the most powerful verses in Scripture. You see, I have heard many people say that it's too difficult to understand the Word of God. I've heard many Christians say, "Well, we'll never know everything. However, God has said that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine and correction in our lives." If I do not have the potential to understand everything in the Word of God, then all Scripture cannot be profitable. Here the Apostle Paul is telling us that Timothy understood the Word of God exactly the same way that Paul understood it. If Timothy could understand it, then so can you and I. We have to get past the belief that I cannot understand the Word of God. Many Christians use the excuse, "I have never been to Bible college. I have never been to seminary. Therefore, I can't understand what is recorded in Scripture." But that is not true. You don't have to go to Bible college or seminary to understand the Word of God. You see, God is established in the church. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We have the responsibility to stay in the Word of God, to understand the Word of God the way Timothy understood it. Whatever Paul would teach, Timothy taught the same thing. There was no difference whatsoever. If Timothy could do that, then so can I. And so can you. A lot of people look at me and they think, "Well, you went to college." And yes, I did go to college. And I do have a doctorate. But at our church, on our church sign, the word doctor is not next to my name. On the business cards of our church, the word doctor does not appear. I never use that word doctor unless it's within the context of the Bible college. Because I do not want people thinking that everything I have learned and everything that I teach, I received at Bible college. Because I didn't. I studied the Word of God. And I let the Holy Spirit minister to me. And I begin to eliminate from my life preachers and teachers who are not right. And I begin only listening to preachers who deliver truth. And I receive from them in the way Timothy received from Paul. That is why I'm able to minister here today. It's not because I have a doctorate. It's because of what I have allowed the Word to do in me. But what I have found is this. Far too many Christians exalt education over spiritual growth. And this is one of the reasons why God had me establish the Bible College. He helped me understand that there are too many Christians. They want to go to college. And God said, I will establish a college, but it will be unlike any other school that exists. And because Christians esteem education so highly, they will enroll. And they will listen to me teach from the college perspective, even if they would never attend my church. So this way, this teaching can get into their lives. Paul had so much confidence in Timothy. He sent Timothy to the church in Corinth. It was a church that was steeped in confusion. But Paul knew that Timothy was going to be able to minister to them that which establishes a New Testament church. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes the following. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and committed unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. And jump to verse 6. But these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John,
na wakati Yakobo, Cephas, na Yohana,
who seemed to be pillars,
ambao walionekana kuwa nguzo,
perceived the grace that was given unto me,
walipoelewa neema ambayo nilipewa mimi,
they gave to me and Barnabas,
walinipa mimi pamoja na Barnabas,
the right hands of fellowship,
kuniwekea mkono wa ushirika,
that we should go unto the heathen,
ili twende kwa watu wa mataifa,
and they unto the circumcision.
Wao waende kwa watu waliotahiriwa.
Now here's what Paul is telling us.
Hapa ndio kile Paul anasema.
He went to Jerusalem and he met with the apostles.
Akaenda Yerusalemu akakutana na mitume.
And he explained to them what he was preaching.
Akawaelezea injili anayohubiri.
They explained to him what they were preaching.
Wao wakamwambia injili anayohubiri.
And they all realized they were all preaching and teaching the same thing. But Paul had never sat at the feet of the apostles. What he received had been given to him by revelation from Jesus Christ. And so Paul and the apostles came to an understanding that we're all preaching and teaching the same thing because we received it from Jesus. This is to be the standard for us. We are to submit to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But only if they stay with the Word of God. If they deviate from the Word, then we have no responsibility to continue listening to them. Why in the world would God tell His children to listen to preachers who are not preaching truth? God does not want His children eating that which cannot nourish them. As we continue in this seminar, we are going to learn how to discern what is good and bad teaching. Please turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127.
Zaburi 127.
In verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord."
Mstari wa 3 inasema kwamba tazama watoto ni urithi kutoka kwa Bwana.
"And the fruit of the womb is his reward."
Na thawabu ya tumbo ya tumbo letu ni matunda kutoka kwa Mungu.
Children are a heritage of the Lord.
Watoto ni urithi kutoka kwa Bwana.
Now turn over to Proverbs 22.
Angalia Methali 22. Methali 22.
Proverbs 22.
Methali 22.
In verse 6 it says,
Mstari wa 6 inasema hivi.
"Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, what we have done over the years is associated these two verses with the children that we bring into the world. And that is not incorrect. But I want you to look at this from a different perspective. When a person is born again, that person becomes a child of God. They become His heritage. Then as pastors, we have the responsibility to train up God's children in the way that they should go. One of the reasons so many Christians backslide is because they have not been properly taught the way that they should go. But when we begin to teach God's children the way that they should go, and we teach it the way that Paul did, the way Peter did, the way the other apostles did, then we are in a place of full obedience unto God, in that we are training up His children in the way that they should go. We have a responsibility as ministers of the gospel to train up leaders, not followers. Too many pastors are teaching the people in their church to follow them more than following God. But my responsibility and yours as a minister is to teach Christians how to follow God. Because the day is coming, we're not going to be here any longer. And those that we train are going to carry on this responsibility. They are God's heritage. They are not ours. We have this responsibility to train them. This is what a New Testament church will do. There has to be the element of teaching. There has to be the explanation of the Word of God. Scripture has to be fed to the children. If every Sunday I stand up and all I do is declare the greatness of Jesus, I'm declaring a good thing. But I am not training them in Scripture. And this is what a lot of pastors don't understand. I have been in churches where the people in the church do not believe there has been a good church service unless people are running all over the church screaming and shouting. Well, there's a time and a place for everything. But a pastor is a shepherd. And a shepherd is supposed to feed the sheep. And that is why in a church, in a New Testament church, there has to be a greater emphasis on teaching. Otherwise, the children of God are not going to properly grow. Look in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I begin reading in verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. Which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now here's what we're seeing. God told Moses how to build the tabernacle.
Mungu alimwelekeza Musa jinsi ya kujenga hema.
And we can read in the Bible how that tabernacle was built.
Na tunaweza tukasoma kwa maandiko jinsi ambayo hema hiyo ilijengwa.
But in Scripture,
lakini kwa maandiko hapa,
we also have a revelation of how a New Testament church is to be built.
Ya jinsi kanisa la agano jipya linafaa kujengwa.
And it is to be built upon the Word of God.
Na linafaa kujengwa katika msingi wa neno la Mungu.
It is to be established according to the better covenant.
Lazima lidhibitishwe kulingana na agano bora.
It is to operate according to the better promises.
Lazima lifanye kazi sawasawa na ahadi.
Therefore, what we know is that from the Word of God, we can find out what it is we're supposed to do in order to have a New Testament church. Now, in the New Testament, if we study the writings of the apostles, we're going to be able to find out exactly how it is I'm supposed to teach, how it is we're supposed to train up God's heritage. We're going to find out what is supposed to be delivered unto the church. And so we're going to right now take a look at some of these teachings that are supposed to exist in every New Testament church. The reason we know this is because these teachings are revealed in the New Testament. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter
2.
It has been the day of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter has stood up and preached. There were thousands of people listening to him. And they asked him in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The Apostle Peter had been preaching to Gentiles. And we'll begin reading in verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For when they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, they answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. One of the things that a New Testament church is going to teach is water baptism. This word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. And it means full immersion in water. There are many churches which teach that if you just pour water on top of someone's head, they are baptized. That is not what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament teaches full immersion in water. Now, full immersion in water all by itself does not cause a person to be born again. You become born again when you call upon the name of the Lord. But the New Testament teaches that those who call upon the name of the Lord and are born again are supposed to be baptized in water. Now remember in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter told those people listening that they should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The Apostle Paul asked these Christians, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we haven't even heard there was a Holy Ghost. Paul then ministered to them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with tongues. One of the things the New Testament church will teach is that Christians need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was raised in a church that taught me I needed to be born again, but also taught me that being filled with the Holy Spirit was no longer for today. So I lived my Christian life born again, but not filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I began attending a church where there were signs and wonders and miracles. And there were people speaking in tongues. And so I began to search the scriptures. I began to listen to the teaching. And I realized I had been wrong. That according to the New Testament, I not only needed to be born again, but I needed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so one day I went forward to the altar. And the preacher ministered to me. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you're going to have a New Testament church, you absolutely must teach to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive that gift of speaking in tongues. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, we're going to take our lunch break at this time. It's 12:15. We're going to give you plenty of time to eat, plenty of time to relax, use the restroom, and we will start again at 2:15.